from our Old Testament text this morning. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, what on earth is this? God attacks somebody in the middle of the night and wrestles with him? And not just anyone. In this story, God wrestles with Jacob. What a strange and impulsive thing for God to do. This is a weird episode in the Bible, and yet, at the same time, it is filled with good news. Before we get to that good news, though, let's take a look at how Jacob got to this point in his life. From the very moment of birth, Jacob was a fighter, a wrestler. He was born grabbing at the heel of his twin brother Esau. In fact, that's what Jacob's name means, heel grabber. You know, he was a trickster. Jacob attempted to cheat Esau out of Esau's birthright inheritance not once, but twice. Because of this, Esau made a promise to kill Jacob. And Jacob then had to run away to his uncle Laban's house. While en route, Jacob fell asleep completely exhausted with a rock for his pillow. Then while asleep, Jacob saw a vision of heaven open and angels going up and down a stairway from heaven. In the midst of this vision, God himself came down and made Jacob a promise. The same promise that God had already given to Jacob's grandfather, Abraham. God promised to bless Jacob with numerous descendants, a good land, God's protective presence, and most importantly, that he would bless all nations through Jacob. So here's Jacob now. He's on the run, again, this time from his father-in-law, with whom he has had a rocky relationship. Esau may still be angry at him too. Jacob doesn't know what's going to happen to himself or to his family when he arrives at the small stream called the Jabbok. To keep them safe, Jacob puts his family on the near side of the stream and then goes and crosses over by himself and is left all alone in the dark. And the dark, as Martin Luther tells us, is no one's friend. This is a fearful time for Jacob. He doesn't know what's going to happen. And yet, at the same time, God has promised that he will protect Jacob, that he will bless him and bless everyone on earth through him. This whole episode in Jacob's life is wrapped up in God's promise. Jacob had been on the run before, and it was then that God appeared to Jacob on the stairway from heaven and gave him the promise. But it's easier to believe that promise in the light of day, in a familiar place, surrounded by family and friends. It's different when Jacob is alone in the dark. The anxiety that Jacob feels on the banks of the Jabbok is not just the fear of his brother Esau's wrath, but the question of whether or not God is still with him, whether or not God's promise still holds. He believes it, but doubt is present sometimes, even at the same time as faith. And then what happens next? Jacob is attacked. Out of the dark comes somebody. It's dark. And guess what? You can't see in the dark. Who? What has attacked him? Jacob doesn't know. Is it a man? Is it an angel? Is it the devil? Is it God? Jacob doesn't know. But we know. Reading ahead, we know it's God who accosts him. But Jacob doesn't know that because it's dark and he can't see. It's only as the light begins to dawn that Jacob realizes that this is God who has attacked him. Jacob does seem to know, however, that this is somehow a trial of his faith in God's promise. After all, God had promised to take care of him, and yet, where is God in the midst of this? What about that promise? The promise is being contradicted by God in a very tangible way for Jacob. Although it's not obvious at first that it is God who has attacked Jacob, it becomes clearer as time goes on. God's action here, cloaked in darkness, seems to contradict God's promise. But Jacob doesn't take it lying down. He fights back with his whole being, struggling to gain the upper hand by using God's promise against God. And guess what? He does. Jacob does get the upper hand. Jacob overpowers God by demanding that God bless him, by demanding a promise. This is what faith does. Faith locks onto God and demands that God act on the promise that God has given in the very midst of the promise's contradiction. When Jacob demands to God that he honor his promise, God stops the wrestling, reaffirms the promise, and even gives Jacob a new name, Israel, God's prince, God's beloved. Jacob is the one who beats God wrestling as an act of faith in the God of promise who loves him. So what about us today? We know God through the promise of salvation in Jesus Christ. Have we ever been confronted with doubts and with the contradiction of God's promise to be a God of grace, mercy, and love for us? The promise to work all things for our good. The promise to draw everyone to himself. The promise of Christ's return. The promise to put an end to all evil and to renew all creation. The theologian Oswald Byers suggests that perhaps the greatest way that we feel the contradiction of God's promise today is through our experience of suffering and evil, both in the world and in our own lives. The fact that God's promise to us seems to be contradicted all over around us causes us to think. We live in a world with natural disasters such as floods, fires, hurricanes, and tornadoes. We live a life filled with the news of humanly caused evil too. Wars, murders, mass shootings, and seemingly boundless oppression and corruption. We live in a nation where the wheels of justice and integrity seem to have come off the tracks. The only thing politicians seem to be able to agree upon is mutual hostility. And that's just the big picture. That doesn't even begin to touch the personal tragedies and anguish that we and our neighbors have faced. Illnesses, deaths, and too many silent griefs to count. Do these things ever give rise to doubt in our own lives? Do they seem to contradict God's promise? Do we seem to wrestle with these things alone in the dark? So what do? Do we give up? Do we call it a day? No, we fight. We wrestle. We wrestle not only for ourselves, but also for our friends, families, neighbors, and for our world. We, like Jacob, dare to take hold of the promise of God even in the midst of its contradiction. While this kind of wrestling with God may seem unfaithful, it is actually the hallmark of true faith. Identifying evil and suffering as the contradiction of God's promise is the very evidence that we believe God's promises, that he has forgiven us for the sake of Christ, that he is always with us, that he will never forsake us, and that he will renew all of creation, wipe away every tear, and put death to death. The contradiction of the promise The need to wrestle is only a problem for faith. Wrestling doesn't deny faith. Wrestling demonstrates the true nature of faith. The nature of faith is not to try to understand everything that happens to us and how it fits into God's plan, or to figure out what God is up to by sending trials our way. The nature of faith is to struggle, to fight, to wrestle, to hold on to the promise. In the midst of this wrestling, God Himself strengthens our spirits by sending us His very self. In the midst of our lives filled with suffering and struggles, Jesus, God in the flesh, comes to renew our faith and comes to us to give us the means to go on. The Christ who faced the ultimate struggle with sin, death, evil, the devil, the law, and His own Father's wrath on the cross now comes to us at His table and gives us His crucified, risen, and glorified body and blood for us to eat and to drink. We can go on wrestling, claiming the promise, because He goes on giving that promise to us, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins." We go on wrestling knowing that the ultimate struggle was won for us by Jesus in His death and resurrection, and that He continues to strengthen us for the fight and wrestles at our side until the day when we stand before Him and He declares the struggle over once and for all. Until that time, we cling to His promise. We cling to Him. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.